Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Daniel Silk. Daniel being a political economy analyst and futurist. And yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us once again, Daniel Silk. How are you?
Simon, hi. I'm very good. Thank you very much. Nice to hear your voice.
I do hope you kind of realize now that you are a monthly regular. I do hope that you've sort of understood that.
I'm waiting for the contract, but I do understand.
Okay, that might take a while to come, but in the meantime, so far, so good. Daniel, we do check in with you kind of once a month. We find it absolutely fascinating, a person of your abilities and intellect, to just put your finger on the pulse of the nation and to give us a bit of a temperature check. Yeah, since we last spoke, certainly seems to me that Shamila Victoire, the NPA, has been very busy doing her job. Without putting words into your mouth, is this a positive development? And yeah, give me the temperature of the state of the nation.
Well, of course, the state of the nation really is going to be tested on Wednesday with Minister Tito Mboweni's medium-term budget policy statement, which is, of course, the second most important budgetary event after the main budget. And in times of COVID, and given all the other issues, it really is the key issue that will test the pulse of all of us. So, you know, let's flag it for the moment. But I mean, on the broader issues, yeah, there certainly has been movement from the NPA in the last few weeks. I still am relatively critical in that I think we are still looking at relatively low hanging fruit here that seems to now be facing the legal music. And clearly the narrative now is about, well, who's next? And you know, I think what's interesting, if you just look at the nuances over the last few weeks, you do see how the debate has shifted to perhaps we will see some action against the ANC Secretary General, Mr. Mangashuli. It's become almost, you know, the main topic of conversation. And I think, you know, that's where the action really will be, should there be charges brought against him. Anything less than that is sort of, yes, I think it's important. I think it adds to cleaning up the rot that still largely affects South Africa. But really, once some of the big names and some of those politically influential people really find themselves, facing legal consequences, can we say that real action is being taken? So I think the jury is still out, but the direction is a little better than it has been, certainly from the NPA's point of view. It's tough getting those prosecutions. It's tough opening those files. You've got to have airtight cases against people. Otherwise, they fall apart. I think work is being done. It's still a little slow from my liking.
And let's talk about the ANC for just a moment, an organization which is known for its discipline, its internal discipline specifically. And articles being published in the press recently stating that the ANC is wanting its own members to remove those implicated in corruption. But there seems to be pushback.
Yes, the ANC really hasn't been able to successfully implement that kind of policy within its own ranks. It still also has a fairly murky view on doing business, on their members doing business with the state as well. And I do think, you know, until you get real hard and fast action on those kind of issues, you simply continue the sort of patronage-based politics that we've had in South Africa for any number of years. I know we sort of go around, you know, hitting our heads against the wall on this issue time after time. But there's a lot of lip service from the ANC. There's a lot of talk about cleaning up the act. And the only way South Africa will progress, in future is if you can rid the ANC of these corrupt practices. But the proof is in the pudding, and really, again, too little thus far.
Our president spoke about a recovery plan earlier in the week. It didn't seem to make much of an impact. What was your take, Daniel?
No, it actually was, I would regard it as what I sometimes call things that I'm not quite sure whether they have any effect or not, a technocratic plan, a sort of a wish list as to what he would like, but it didn't have much meat on the bones. And a lot of the heavy lifting is going to be left for Minister Mboweni this week to announce how our finances are going to stack up for this year and into the next year and the next 3-year budgetary cycle as well. So, you know, I think we've had from the president sort of broad brushstrokes, and we all agree jobs and infrastructure are critical for the country, but you have to stimulate this economy, and at the same time you've got to cut back. And that balance of austerity versus stimulating the economy is the tightrope that Minister Mboweni has to walk this week. So it doesn't actually matter what President Ramaphosa announced or didn't announce last week. The nuances of this week's medium-term budget statement are really going to dictate our pace for the next year or so. Will we pay more taxes than individuals? I'm not quite sure that that's going to be the case. Will there be lower salary increases for civil servants? Possibly. Has the state the guts, I suppose, to take action on reducing its staff complement in state-owned enterprises? Maybe, but I'm not convinced. Those are the critical issues we're going to wait for.
We've got 2 minutes, and I'm going to throw something at you out of left field. I was reading an article this morning about, I think it was the premier of KZN, I'm not entirely sure, talking about the possibility of another hard lockdown. Do you think South Africa can weather another hard lockdown?
No, I think it's, I think this kind of language is rhetoric more than substance. And I think one has to be very careful about making such threats given the negative effect of the hard lockdown that we've had. And you can just see countries around the world who've had hard lockdowns are trying their level best now with a second wave not to introduce as dramatic or draconian hard lockdown. You know, if you have sort of regional lockdowns or you close certain restaurants, but you don't close other industries. So I think, you know, if our cases surge, we need a much more nuanced approach than we had. It was too blunt. It was too heavy-handed. And to suggest that we're going back to stage four or stage five would simply be a further nail in the coffin of this economy that simply can't afford it.
Daniel Silk, what a pleasure it is speaking to you on a monthly basis. Look out for that contract because, wow, I'd certainly love to get it to you. That's Daniel Silk, political economy analyst and futurist. Thank you so much for your input this afternoon, Daniel.